The following is a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.
Welcome back, Ann. It's been a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great, Gil. How are you?
We are fine. I'm saying me and my tax forms here. That's why I said we, because it's this schedule and that schedule and this. Help me here. Tell us some of the easy mistakes we can succumb to and how to avoid them.
One of the things that people sometimes do is they deduct the wrong year for property taxes. It can be a really easy mistake to make because the amount you deduct for property taxes is the amount that you paid in the year that you paid them. So you're not billed for your 2013 property taxes until 2014. For federal tax purposes, just use the amount that you actually paid in 2013, regardless of what the dates are on your actual bill. So as I explained, it's something that's easy sometimes for people to get confused about.
Just what I actually wrote checks for last year. That's all the IRS cares about.
Right. That's exactly it. Perfect.
Excellent. I can do that.
Okay. People also make mistakes with property taxes because sometimes, depending on where you live, real estate tax bills also include other items in addition to the property taxes, like trash pickup or snow removal fees or other things like that. So if people include those additional fees in what they take as their deduction, they're making a mistake. So what they really need to do is just look at that bill and make sure that they're only deducting the property tax portion.
Got it. And that can be a little tricky. Give me some more tricky things to look out for. What's something else that can be a little tricky?
If someone has bought or sold a home in the middle of the year, they need to itemize the right amount of taxes. So to find out what that amount is, they will get a statement called a HUD-1 closing statement, and they should use that amount rather than the number from their property tax bill. So the reason is because generally, depending on the local tax cycle, either the seller gives the buyer money to pay taxes when they come due, or if the seller has already paid taxes, the buyer reimburses the seller at closing. So I think the takeaway here for folks is just look for that HUD-1 closing statement, and that all the math and how that all transaction work out is in that HUD-1 closing statement, and that's what they need to look at when they itemize their property taxes.
All right, great. Just keep the HUD-1 in front of me, and I'll be fine. What if your lender is paying your taxes for you from escrow?
Well, that can be a little tricky, too. But again, if you just, I think, keep your eye on some simple facts, everything will work out. The issue is that the amount that the lender escrows is not necessarily the same amount of the property taxes that you paid, because the regular amount you pay into your escrow account is probably a little more or maybe a little less than your property tax bill. So let's say your property tax was $1,200. Your lender might have collected $1,100 or maybe $1,300 in escrow over the year. You still only deduct $1,200. So your lender will send you an official statement listing the actual taxes paid and use that. Don't just add up the, your escrow, your 12 months of escrow property tax payments, because it's an estimate. And so you have to deduct the amount that you paid in taxes, not the amount you put in your escrow account.
What about deducting points? I bought a house, I paid points on my mortgage. What about deducting those?
If you bought your home in 2013 and paid points, deduct those in full on your 2013 taxes. If you refinance, you have to deduct points over the life of your loan. So if you paid $2,000 in points to refinance into a 15-year mortgage, your tax deduction is $133 per year, which is $2,000 divided by 15, which is, the points, $2,000 divided by 15, the length of the loan equals $133.
Okay, so different for original mortgage than a refi. What about the home office tax deduction? That's complicated.
Well, it can be very complicated, but the IRS has found a way to make this a little bit easier, potentially, for us this year. So for the 2013 tax season, there's a simplified deduction option if you're okay with not claiming the actual costs. You can claim $5 per square foot for your home office up to 300 feet or a cap of $1,500. So for example, an 8x10 room is 80 square feet, 8 times 10 is 80, and at $5 per square foot, that's $400. So the thing to keep in mind mostly is that regardless of which option you choose, the requirements for claiming the home office deduction haven't changed. you still have to use the home office primarily for business exclusively and also on a regular basis.
All right. And I know there's more information about that at houselogic.com/radio. Before we go in, any final words of wisdom here?
In any year, don't forget to track your home improvement expenses, because when you get around to selling your home, there may be tax breaks available to you based on those improvements that you made.
All right. And thank you. And for more on the tax topics we discussed today, go to houselogic.com/radio and follow House Logic on Facebook. Ann Fader, thank you so much for joining us from houselogic.com.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You've been listening to a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of houselogic.com.